This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, this is Doug Pollard here, bringing it to you, as I've said before, with the assistance of Brett Hayhoe, Bianca Johnston, and a special last-minute guest who joined us, Clem Newton-Brown. Now, we referred briefly earlier on to the changes to the Equal Opportunity Act when special religious privileges were restored. One person who was there at Parliament when it happened is former Liberal MP Andrew Olexander, who you may remember left the party in somewhat controversial circumstances. And he joins us on the line now. Good morning, Andrew.
Hello,
I mean good afternoon. I knew I'd say it at least once in the course of today.
I know, it's been about five times, Doug, but I wasn't going to pull you up.
Oh, well, never mind. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hello, can you hear me? I'm on my mobile, unfortunately.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. Now, you were at Parliament the other night when the Equal Opportunities amendments went through in the Upper House. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, yes, it was a very long night. The government had decided that the legislation was going to be put through on that evening after the bill was second read in the upper house after the dinner break, which started about 8:30 p.m. Didn't finish until about 4 o'clock, so in the morning. So it was a very long and grueling debate.
Now, this isn't usual, is it? I mean, this is usual procedure?
No, not really. Debates of this nature, particularly when there are a lot of speakers and it's a controversial issue, can take days to complete. That would have been the normal process. But unfortunately, the debate was truncated and members were informed that they should prepare to be there until the early hours of the morning, which is exactly what happened.
So how did it go? I mean, was there very much doubt? Let's be frank about this from the beginning. Was there very much doubt that it was ever going to go through? I mean, were there any genuine waverers on the government side in there?
There were a couple of potential waverers, people who might have taken a different approach to the legislation, but unfortunately, given the circumstances of what had happened in the lower house, I think had been brought very firmly back into line. And it was a difficult debate for some of those people. Many of them didn't speak or were planning not to speak.
Mm-hmm. I noticed Andrea Coote, who's been a good friend to this community in the past, made a last-minute speech, so to speak.
Yes, she did. She was one of the last speakers for the government, and told the House that she wasn't planning to speak out of respect for a very large and vibrant LGBTI community in her electorate, but then decided to speak after listening to the debate because I think she made the point that she had an even larger and more vibrant religious community, particularly a Jewish community in her electorate, who very much wanted this legislation to go through.
I find that a slightly odd argument myself, because even if the exemptions hadn't gone through, they could have applied for special exemptions and would almost certainly have got them. So I don't really see that that's much of an argument. It just comes down to,
you know,
some of my best friends are gays and some of my better ones are Jews. Doesn't really play very well with me.
And I certainly don't think there's unanimity in the Jewish religious community about these matters either.
Andrew, in relation to this, and just putting it in perspective...
This is Brett Hayhoe.
Sorry, Andrew. On a liberal basis, has there been a dramatic change in the Liberal Party in Victoria, and I put this to Clem as well, that this sort of change to the to the Equal Opportunities Act is now possible where it wouldn't have been in previous... Liberal parties?
Absolutely. That's my very firm view, particularly after listening to the government speakers on the night. It was quite disturbing to hear the arguments that were being put forward. There was very little emphasis on the issues of human rights or protections from discrimination. The arguments were characterised by defences for discrimination in large part, and the rights of religious organisations to discriminate if they wanted to without impediment from the law, which I thought was a huge change to what would have happened from government speakers or liberal speakers in the past. Back in 2002, when the Relationships Bill and the Equal Opportunity Amendments were strengthened, there was a critical mass of progressive liberals who fought very hard to change the party's policy, did so successfully, and shepherded those protections and rights through both houses of parliament.
Okay,
after a bit of a skirmish in the party room.
I'd like to bring in Clem Newton Brown at this point because I can see him chewing on his pencil over there. Clem,
Before we go to Clem, can I just put this in perspective as well as a gay and lesbian radio station, that it is also a wrong assumption in our community to believe that every LGBTI person votes for the Australian Labor Party.
Oh, indeed it is.
There are a lot of gay liberals in our community.
Well, Clem knows it. They voted for him.
Absolutely.
They might be regretting it now, but they voted for him.
There's a lot of LGBTI people who actually support the Liberal Party. So I guess where I'm coming from is I don't want people to believe that we're just bashing the Liberal Party, because we're not.
No. Clem?
Well, I don't think there is reason to be bashing the Liberal Party either. If I could just perhaps address Andrew's comment about the debate being cut short, that's not the case. It's the reason that the Parliament sat until 4 in the morning was that David Davis, the leader of the upper house, wanted to make sure every person who wanted to speak on this bill could speak on this bill. So that's just an aside. But as far as the position with this legislation goes, basically takes it back to the position that was prior to the amendment going through a year or two back. So when Andrew was in Parliament, we're back to the position that we were in when he was in Parliament. And it's a matter of, I suppose, balance. I mean, this is a position which was it was Liberal Party policy prior to the election that we would remove this inherent requirements test, and it really, I suppose, is a matter of balancing the rights of people to be free from discrimination with the rights of people to be freedom to associate with groups and religions that they want to, and freedom of choice. And indeed, in the legislation, there are rights for others to discriminate lawfully. For instance, if a gay counselling service wants to employ gay phone operators, then it's right that they should be able to, and they can do so under the Act. Similarly, the recent example of the circuit bar was able to lawfully discriminate on the basis that they didn't want to admit women to the bar. So it's a bit of a myth that's built up that the Liberals are destroying the life as we know it in Victoria.
I wouldn't say we were going that far, Clem, but I do think there is a case to be made for saying, why on earth should religious organisations get a blanket exemption when places like the Circuit Bar, places like the other bars we have in town, have to apply for specific exemptions for their specific circumstances? There's no reason why specific religious institutions shouldn't do the same thing. And I'm perfectly sure that the way the law operates, they would get those exemptions. I think the exemption is this assumption that they should automatically get an exemption just because they stick the label religious on themselves.
Well, it's not a blanket exemption, Doug. It has to accord with their faiths and beliefs. So a religious organisation can't just go out there and willingly discriminate.
Well, yes, it can, if that's part of their faith and belief.
But they have to be able to justify that, though.
Well, I don't think so. Not on a case by case basis.
Not on a case by case basis. But
and that's my objection, I think. And Andrew, you were about to say.
Well, yeah, I mean that's very true. At the moment, any organisation, before this legislation, of course, any organisation, secular or religious, could apply to VCAT for a specific exemption to the Equal Opportunity Act if there was a demonstrable objective reason that could be supported by that tribunal for an exemption. So the case of the circuit bar, for example, was one of those, and there have been other exemptions granted. Religious organisations under this legislation would have to do the same thing. They would have to justify before the tribunal why their religious belief was a salient factor.
Yeah, which would put us all on a level
now
footing.
They don't. It is a blanket exemption. So Clem's quite wrong about that. But he's also, I think, gilding the lily just a little bit when he says the leader of the Liberals in the upper house wanted everybody to have an opportunity to speak. He actually had a number of motions on the night asking for the debate to be continued the following day and possibly the day after, when members were more awake and alert, and opposed that. So that could have been, that debate could have been handled in the normal manner, and it wasn't. And I think it's because the government wanted to get this off the agenda as quickly as they possibly could.
Andrew, I'm not being argumentative, but are you still a member of the Liberal Party of Australia?
No. I haven't been since 2006, and made a decision then not to renew my membership of the organisation because of a whole range of human rights issues which I didn't feel were being adequately dealt with by the party.
Well, we've got a message in here from Tim Wilson, who says, to be quite frank, as someone who's dealt with him for years, Andrew has a fanciful imagination, which is a polite way of putting it. He makes up this stuff about changing party policy in 2000, which is not true. Before 1999, the election, the Vic Libs did not have a policy on the area. Andrew claims the because government changed. The Libs developed a position after the election because it was ALP policy. Clem was elected on the policy to change the act by the people of Paran. If he changed his position, he'd be just like Julia Gillard, saying one thing before the election and something after. It's entirely intellectually consistent that you can believe in both gay rights and religious rights. Andrew should stick to reality.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether to thank Mr. Wilson for calling me creative or not, but he wasn't in the parliament back then. He wasn't in the party room. In the Liberal Party, under the Constitution, policy is set by the Liberal Party room, not by the organisation. And the party room had decided to oppose both the Equal Opportunity Amendments and the Relationships Legislation back then. We, a group of progressive Liberals, including Leonie Burke, Peter Katsimbarnas, myself, Victor Pert, and a number of others, were a critical mass who fought to change party policy, and we succeeded in reversing that party room decision. So Mr. Wilson clearly is being a bit more fanciful here than even I'm capable.
I think Andrew's highlighted a really good point there, that within all political parties there's a range of views, and as a party we have those debates behind closed doors, and that's where there's a role for people like me, as a big supporter of the community, to advocate for your positions going forward. So yeah, it is a rigorous process, and you have to take the benefit of the being with the party gives you, in that if I convince my colleagues, as I did recently, to continue supporting Safe Schools Coalition, then I get that support from my party members. But you also have to wear it if you don't get that support.
Okay, we're going to have to wind this one up here, Andrew, because we're running out of time. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Doug.
That was Andrew Alexander there. Now, I just wanted to get a couple of messages out of the way. Melina says, the right to discriminate under the guise of religious affiliation is a sad and tired old argument. And John says, taxpayer-funded organisations, whether religious or secular, should not be free to discriminate on any grounds.
Clem, in 30 seconds, and this may be an ask, but can I ask on behalf of the LGBTI community, do we have to worry about the current Victorian Liberal government?
Absolutely not. As I just said, look, I'm in there as a member who's got a very large part of the community in my electorate. I'm in there batting for you. I'm looking for issues, so please bring them to me, okay. and I'll be batting for you.
Okay, we've got to wind it up at that point.
I'll come back in a moment and say goodbye. No? You want to say goodbye now? Oh dear, we are very short on time. Okay, well, that must be it for this week then. My thanks to Andrew Alexander, Brett Hayhoe, Bianca Johnston, Professor Suzanne Crowe, Sydney Block, Clem Newton-Brown, and Jamie Gardner, a packed studio today. I would send greetings to my researcher and producer, Douglas Sanz Pareja, but he's on a 10-day silent retreat somewhere and can't hear me. But Keza has, as usual, done a tremendous job of technical production, and Bianca has helped out too. It's been great today. Check out the Rainbow Reporter on Facebook. Podcasts will be available via joy.org.au, and I'll see you the same time next week with another Rainbow Report.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.